Good evening, Abosai. Good evening. Okay, we're up to Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, and we'll be learning Diukim Benusach Bekes Hamazon after completing the halachas with regards to Noshim, women and benching, and Ketanim, children and benching. Thank you so much also for the overwhelming feedback with regards to the Nusach Hakotzav Bekes Hamazon. Thank you so much. The various feedback that I got. So we're now ready for Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, Diukim Benusach Bekes Hamazon. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph as follows: Yesh Oyimim Boruch Maspia L'Reivim. Some say the Borcha of Boruch Gebenched is Maspia, the one who makes full and satisfied the Reivim, the hungry people. It's a Nusach Be'Elohim Roi, and it's better not to say that Nusach. Ve'Hamoisiv Goyriah, the one who adds to the wording of the benching to the registered formal Nusach of benching. If you just fancy adding additions, you may not do so. You can't just add, although it makes sense, Masbir Erevim is a very beautiful bracha, very sensible indeed, but you may not add up to your own discretion additions. You can't do that. So, Elohim Roi V'Amoshif Gerah, and what you add is Gerah, he actually takes away. Yeah, but these are all, this is from Nusach HaGemara. Yeah, but these are all registered, this is all, it is a voluntary. Yeah, this. Okay, so this is all voluntary additions or tailor-made additions of a nusach, which is an existing nusach, as opposed to adding your own additions. Mishneh Berurah says over here a few points in Sifkoten Beis. Amosif Gura Dein Lois Sifkoten Beis Amosif Gura Ein Loisif Al Matpia Shetov Chomi. You may not add to the nusach, to the formalized nusach that Chachomim established. Lo Yoyma, do not say Kila Oilam Chazdo Imonu. Ki chasod avheim im kol choy. Don't say the word imonu. Also, sha'atozon, komets tachazashin. Sha'atozon is another, that's the way, the correct way of saying, says the Mishnah Berurah. Hanachnu moedim v'loy onu moedim. I'm pretty sure that I've seen benches with onu moedim instead of anachnu moedim. The Mishnah Berurah says, anachnu moedim. The onu loshen aninus. Onu comes from oinen aninus, means like morning. Befi kol chai, v'loy befe. So it has to be befi as opposed to befe. Migadz also reenu b'shvot ha'chazareish v'lo b'choylom kloshim b'koshe. Lo yichos alonu v'aliach salonu. So you give a few, but the truth is most of them are the way we've got in our benches nowadays. Okay, in Sifkoten Dalet, Mishneh Berurah brings the point that we mentioned earlier about the nusach hakotza of benching for children. That's in the end of Sifkoten Dalet. Sif Beis in Shulchan Aruch, Birkas Haoretz, in the Brach of Birkas Haoretz, La Rosh Lo Yoyma, Shinchalta La Vesinu, Eretz Chemda V'chulu, Bris V'toyo, Shereoyma, according to Rosh, you don't say that, Shinchalta La Vesinu, Eretz Chemda V'toyo, Bris V'toyo, Shereoyma, Al Bris Chosh Chazamto V'sereinu, Al Toyros Chosh Nivaltunu, V'tai V'pam Echot, it's sufficient to call, to mention the Eretz only once. V'Rambam, Cholik, the Rambam disagrees, but indeed, our Nusach is according to the Rosh. We're ready for Sif Gimel. There is, in the bracha of Birkas Haoretz, you need to mention bris, the covenant, the promise, v'toyro and also toyro. Both need to be mentioned. If you missed one of the two, either bris or toyro, if you missed one of the two, machzirin oisa, you're not yoitzi, you need to go back. So you need to mention bris and toyro, both are me'akev. Noshim avodim yoimu bris v'toyro. Noshim avodim do not need to mention bris v'toyro. The noshim lavne brisin v'avodim lavne brisin. They don't need to. Of course, the nusach is that they do mention it. Seif dalet. Yeah, as you say, Mishnah Berurah in Sifkoten Tes brings mikol mokoyim biyameinu nuago noshim loyim agam kan al bris chosh chesamte v'sirim al tishchosh shenim al detonu. Although the bris, of course, doesn't really apply directly to women, but nevertheless, it's still mentioned in the Nusach benching, and Mishneh Berurah says that's the great way that the women bench the same way as the men. Otherwise, we'd get into trouble. We'd get into trouble if we'd make different nuschos for women. We'd get into trouble within 2 minutes. So they have the same Nusach, and that's fine, says the Mishneh Berurah. Although, really, Bris and Torah doesn't really apply to them. But now, Seif Dalet. Im lo yizkir bevoyni Yerushalayim Malchus beis David machzirin oisoy. If you don't mention Malchus beis David, the kingdom of David, machzirin oisoy, you have to go back. The kingdom, the Malchus of David HaMelech must be mentioned. Why is that? Why is the Malchus of David so important that needs to be mentioned? Mashiach, that's a good thought. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkotn Yud Zayin, in Sifkotn Yud Bevoina, Mipne Shalidei David, because through David Nizkach Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim only became holy through David. Before David HaMelech, Yerushalayim was a random city, but it certainly increased its kedusha through David HaMelech. Now you're going to say it's not true. What did David HaMelech do? Who built the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech. So why are you telling me David? Pardon? Yeah, David. Yeah, but who built? Why the kedusha? Oh, you're right. It's called Yer David because he. Right. Very good. So the answer is because David HaMelech made all the preparations. He made all the preparations he purchased the area, and he acquired the land. It's true, he wasn't physically able to actually build it, but as the Mefarshim say in Sefer Melachim, and in Sefer Shmuel, in fact, that he prepared it in the Olam, in the Hashkofa world, in the Olam HaMachshava, he had built the Beis HaMikdash. The Befoil, the Lemaise, the physical building, was in the hands of Shlomo HaMelech. But always before you build something in Ruchnius, always before you build something physical, you always need to have the Ruchnius behind it, right? You try to build a building without an architect's plan, you're likely to fail. So the same also, you always need the Machshava in the back. So similarly also, David HaMelech did all the thinking process and the Machshava and all the... In the Machshava, he built it. The physical... the physical action, building need to be done through Shlomo HaMelech, but it was all prepared by David HaMelech. Yeah. So Mishnah Berurah says, so he built, so because of Kedusha and Yerushalayim was only chal through David, therefore he needs David, Malchus based David needs to be mentioned in benching. Because Yerushalayim, if you talk about Yerushalayim, you need to talk about David HaMelech. If you speak about Yerushalayim, it's intrinsically connected. If you speak about Yerushalayim, you need to talk about David. V'gam an additional reason, she'ein nechomu gmura, ela b'chazos malchus beis David l'mkoymo. The nechomu will only be complete. The comfort would only be complete once David HaMelech, the malchus beis David returns to Yerushalayim. It's only complete. The return is only complete when David HaMelech's family reigns again on the family, reigns again in Yerushalayim. So we need to mention, when we mention Yerushalayim, if we are hoping for the full return, we are waiting for David HaMelech. I just want to mention to you something interesting, an interesting medrash, an unknown medrash. Why was it that David was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash? Right, that's certainly mashma in Divrei Hayomim, the posuk in Divrei Hayomim seems to imply that very much that reason. The pasuk in the pesukim in Shmuel and Melachim don't really say that explicitly, but you're right. It seems to be implied in Divrei Hayomim that the reason why because he had fought too much wars, and therefore he was not allowed to build it. Is that I always find it very hard to understand this. Do you have a kasha on this? Exactly. I never chap this because why did he have all those wars? Why did he have to fight all those wars? Why did David HaMelech fight? Because he was commanded by Hashem himself. These are not self-initiated wars. These are wars that Hashem commanded him to fight. So if he did exactly what Hashem commanded him, why can he be punished by not being able to build the Beis HaMikdash? Sure. Yeah. That's a nice thought. Yeah, that's a very nice thought. Yeah, so he wasn't yet. Yeah, I hear that. Okay, I want to share with you, since I hear what you say. I want to share with you an interesting, an unknown medrash. I think it's pretty unknown, and I'd like to share that with you, although it's not directly connected with this Mishnah Berurah. There's an unknown medrash, I think it's a Yalkut. I think it's a Yalkut. It's put down in some of the Mefarshim, but it's David HaMelech, long before he was king, with the incident with David and Goliath. We all know that exactly what happened, how he was a young soldier and Shaul didn't know what to do, and David then came up and he says he's going to fight Goliath, the Plishti, and he managed to win over him, and he killed Goliath. And what happened then? So he killed Goliath, and what happened then? He took the head of Goliath, and the shield, pardon? He did indeed. to make a point. To make a point, and he walked around with this, and he went from village to village, and he showed that, see, if you have emunah in Hashem, Hashem is going to be on your side. Now, that's what the pasuk says. That's what the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel. What is not reported is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that he was going around from city to city, from village to village, and was going around. And whilst he was going around, people were so excited that the Plishtim seemed to mamash to be able to conquer and win over the Yidden. And it looked like it was a point of no return, that they had lost the battle. It looked like they're going to lose forever. And nevertheless, David, with Satan Ishmael, he managed to conquer over Goliath, and hence all the Plishtim were pushed away for quite a while. Now, there was such an excitement and such a thrill and such enthusiasm. The weapons that people just, as Goliath was going around from city to city, village to village, holding the of Goliath and the shield as well, I think the sword as well, I think as a state, the sword. So people were throwing out of excitement, they threw all the golden jewelry that they had, they threw into onto David. And he amassed a fortune, a real fortune of gold and silver that Yidden, out of excitement, they threw onto David. And it was a fortune, imagine gold and silver from thousands of people. It was a fortune, a real huge amount of money. And he said, I will take this money, and I will take this money, and I will gather it, and I'll wait. I'm not going to, of course, take it for his own pocket, because one day he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash, and they will need kelim for the Beis HaMikdash, and to build the Beis HaMikdash is a very expensive enterprise. I'm going to collect all that money, and I'm going to use it for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. All the gold and silver, he put aside nicely, safely in a safe place, maybe under the carpet or something, on the floorboard, probably there. And he said, I'm going to save it for when you are ready to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what he did. Good intention, yes or no? Good idea? Okay, so a few years later, there was a famine. Pasuk describes the famine. And Yidden came back to David. He was king by then, years later. And he said, David, please give us the money back. We are hungry. We have no money. We are poor. Poverty. Famine. Please give us. We gave you a few years ago. We threw the gold and silver. Now you are king. Give us the money. Return the money because we need. We're hungry. It's famine in the land. And David said, sorry. This money has been put aside for the Beis HaMikdash. I wish I could help. I can't help you. This money is set aside for the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't have to give it to me initially, but now you did. It's set aside for the Beis HaMikdash. Good or wrong? Right or wrong what David did? Right or wrong? Yeah, good point. I suppose, good point. Yeah, you're saying it's hectish? Not sure though, halachically it's hectish because there was no Beis HaMikdash then. So halachically it's probably not considered hectish. Yeah, but they were makdashit for the Mishkan. They were not makdashit for the Mishkan, they were specifically makdashit for the Beis HaMikdash. So I wonder. Sakona, you're saying that?
So if they needed the money for food, then surely that should override
it. Yeah. Yeah. He should have just... V'chaibahem, he needs to look after the Yidden. Yeah. So I want to tell you what the matter says. The matter says that because he was so tough with the Yidden, he was so tough with them, and he put the sake of the Beis HaMikdash on top of the needs of Klal Yisrael. Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, until now, you're right to build the Beis HaMikdash, you're worthy of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, did you show me that Klal Yisrael is second important? Because of that, you will not be allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to go over to your son Shlomo. You will not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash because you put the Kedush of the Beis HaMikdash in front and before, and more important, it's more essential to you than the tzrochim, the physical needs of Klal Yisrael. You're not worthy of building Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it was taken away. That's unlike what you were saying, which is the famous pshat and the correct pshat according to Divrei HaYomim. But that's what the Medrash says. It's a fascinating pshat. It's a fascinating deep insight. Because what does that show us? I mean, there's so many lessons from this Medrash. But more than anything else, it teaches us. That's right. That forget about everything else. Forget about everything else. Building Beis HaMikdash. Heilige Sachen. Building the Beis HaMikdash. It's all very important. It's amazing. It's crucial. It's essential. But that only comes after you really, really care for your Yidden. First, you have to just love everybody. You have to care for them. Make sure they're not hungry. Make sure they're looked after. Make sure they have everything they need. And then you can think about the Beis HaMikdash. But before that, you need to be passionate about fellow Yidden. Only then afterwards you can work with the rest. What do you think about that? Beautiful pshat, no? Beautiful man. Okay. Good. Okay, so this is why This is just talking about David HaMelech and why he wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. But yes, ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash is intrinsically linked and connected to Malchus Beis David. Now, continues the Ramah. Oh, I have a pshat, I have a kash on this Ramah coming now. Okay, we say, on Chanukah we say, Alanisim. Do you say Valanisim or Alanisim? Val or Al? Alanisim. Depends on the Nusach. Now the Ramah's Nusach is Alanisim. And what does the article say? Brackets. Yeah, that's always the best way. Absolutely. I'm 100%. So it says Alanisim. The Ramah says Alanisim. And not Valanisim. Also, Valanisim is hard to understand. The sentence grammatically is a bit hard to understand if it's a Valanisim. But anyway. And if you didn't say Alanisim, what's the halacha? Do you happen to anybody? Do you forget a Valanisim? No, you wouldn't. You say, oh. So, but if you forget altogether, do you have to go back? Anything would happen to you? Never happens to you. If you forget, did it happen to you? Happened to you? Forget? Don't forget? If you would have forgotten, what would have happened? You don't go back. Ein machzir in oiso, you don't go back. And I come out to him to a fresh place. Mikol mokim. Now it says the Mishnah, the Ramah following. Yochel oimre besuch shah rachamon. This is a special rachamon. A special design, tailor-made, bespoke rachamon. For yoim rachamon yasel onu nisim, kmoi shosu b'yim imohem. For yochel oimre besuch shah rachamon. You can see rachamon. Rachamon. The one who has mercy on us. Hu yasel onu nisim. He should make nisim for us. Kmoisha also, like he's made nisim, but I remember him in those days. I'm giving it, I know it by heart. So I'm giving it away. Yeah, it's Baruch Hanok, and that is the minik. So right. Now, Rabbi Sai, this is a kash over here. Let's look at the nusach again. Horachamon, the one who has mercy on us. Hu yasel onu nisim. He should make nisim for us. Kmoisha also, like he's made nisim, but I remember him in those days. And that's how you start. Rachman, then you stay. Alanisim, alapogim, alagvus, alachuris. Okay, Rabbi Sai, what do you think about this brocha? About this Rachman? What do you think about it? Rachman, yaslo, nisim. You should make nisim like you made nisim. Then you should make. Oh, very good. Moshe asked a very good kasha. We find a concept that a person is not allowed to ask for nisim. We're not allowed to ask for nisim. The Mefot Achonim say, you're not allowed to ask. You're not allowed to jump out of the. Exactly. Yeah, so because you're not allowed to rely on Nisim. Who are you to expect the Jewish to help you? Who are you? You can't expect Nisim. Yeah. Look at that! Wow, look at this fast. Very, very nice. Okay, so very good. So first, let's appreciate the question. How can we see Rachman Yassel on Nisim? So you are saying one answer, which I didn't know this first Emma says, but certainly some of Farshim say, that the reason why you're allowed to is because Chanukah, and the same applies on Purim, is a time designed for Nisim. It's a special time that in that time is full of Nisim, and therefore you're allowed to ask for Nisim in that time of year. Good, 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 very good. First Emma says it? Yeah, there is, all of Farshim will say it as well, yeah.
We don't say who you're Rachim. So if we're asking for something, we'll put it into the second person,
Rachim.
If we were asking him, listen, we'd say, Tasen, no, listen. We're not saying who you are,
so
it's just a step
into
the
manner. You say that he will
bring us listen.
Without, it's not an expectation, it's just that it will happen.
Really, it's just, it's a third person future.
That's nice. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, very good. Nice Duke. Nice. Any other answers? What do you want to say?
Life-threatening.
Maybe if your person is in danger. Maybe. Yeah. I hear. It's a good shot. There's various teutim. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%, yeah. So there's various terutzim. The Shari Tshuva brings over here two terutzim. One terutz is that, if it's Nes Nista, the person is allowed to ask for Nes Nista. For hiddenness, the person is allowed to ask, that's one pshat. Nes Nista, you're allowed to ask Hashem to a hiddenness, not publicness, but in hiddenness you're allowed to ask. All that say that if it's in the plural, if you ask Hashem to help everybody in a nest, that would be such a kvod shemaim, that would be a Pilsum of the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you say, Yase Lonu Nisim, tell you asking Hashem should help make everybody a public nest. That would be, you don't have to private nest, you're not allowed to ask. You're not allowed to ask, please make me, you know, make me a nest. That you're not allowed to. But you're allowed to ask for public nest. Hashem will like publicize his omnipresence. Yase Lonu Nisim, that person would be allowed to. But many other tools as well. By the way, it's interesting as well. Just talking about this, by duchening, you won't know that because you're busy otherwise during duchening, but during the duchening, the third time, what do we say? Does anybody have a siddur here? Siddur, what's the third, you know, when by duchening, yeah? On Yom Tov. No, that won't help. Yeah, in the Yotzen that we say, the last one, yeah? So we say that, Hashem, we ask explicitly Hashem to make nisim for us. I always feel it was an interesting nusach. Do you know what I'm referring to? Exactly. So first we say the Yiratzen. Yeah, first we say Ribbono Shel Olam twice. And the third time we say Yiratzen. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you'll recognize from this one. Yeah. Yes. So we say over there. We say explicitly. V'asase imin yiflois v'nisim v'letoy v'ois v'aslecheni b'drochai v'sem beli b'bino la'avon la'askil. He says v'asase imin yiflois v'nisim. Ask. I don't know what's pshat in it. I don't know what's pshat. It always bothers me when I say it. I don't know what's pshat. Because the terutzim that we're saying over here don't apply there, so I'm not sure. Okay. So that's with regards to the halacha of benching, that if a person forgets hanesim altogether, you en machzir enos, you don't have to go back. But by the rachamons, you can add rachamon. Now, something which also bothers me, where does it make sense to print this rachamon? Where would it make the most sense to print this rachamon? Exactly. It doesn't help anybody. I don't understand why some benches, they put this rachamon together with the alanisim. Because if you've forgotten it, then it's too late. I'm saying, who is gonna help if this rachamon is bad? No, but where would you print it? Where would you print it? Rachamon Yaslan Nisim. In footnotes. Yeah, but where? Which part of benching?
At the back.
At the back, right. But some benchers, for some reason, they have it with the Alanisim.
But no, that's because when people suddenly remember, oh, I forgot Alanisim.
Then you go back with it. I see. Maybe that's Pshat.
Yeah. So
you go back. Okay, good. So, right, next simon is simon kuf peiches, nusach ha-broch ha-shlishis, v'dinei peiksemozen b'shabbos. V'atev v'eksemozen v'oi yutzeifim. Sif Aleph tells us the following halacha. Ach shchos ha-boi ni Yerushalayim. After we say, boi ni Yerushalayim, yane omein achas birkes atzma, you'll say omein after your own brocha, which is a very rare occurrence. Where else do we say omein after your own brocha? We don't really say omein after your own brocha, right? Pov ni Yerushalayim, you say omein after your own brocha, right? Because until that it's brachas medereisa. The following brach is not medereisa, only the rabbanon. Therefore, the Ovni Yerushalayim is not really an omen as far as we know omen. It's just an omen in terms of full stop, new paragraph. It's like making a stop.
So even the Yerushalayim is deraisa, and then the rabbanon from then on, is
it? Yeah, from there it's the rabbanon. Now this is why. After.
So the part
of the Uvnei Bracha. No, that's not the Reise. Uvnei Shalem is not the Reise.
So
that Bracha Uvnei is ready with Rabbanon. But it's just making that Bracha to make a point, it's like a point of making Omein, it's separation kind of thing. Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, good point. It's a good point. Yeah, okay. Now, the Mishtabura says, yeah, okay, we'll see that tomorrow, Mitzchem. We'll look at Sifkot and Beis tomorrow. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight. We learned that you can't add additions to the benching to say like, Boch Maspil Arevim, or Simla, Moisif Gurea, don't add anything. I just noticed that I forgot a line in Sif Aleph. Let me just read it now. Vim Omab Mokim Birkas Hazon, Boich Rachmona Malkim, Orid, Apita Yotze. The person says in Aramaic, Keben Shibida, Dribon Shtolem, who is the master of this bread, Yoyotze, but you have this first bracha. Vish Oimim Shetzerich Shachtim, Boich Rachmona, the Zon Koile. So if you say in Aramaic, Yoyotze, but you have it. Okay, Sif Beis told us that you should say, Al Bris Chasham, Tim Srim, Al Tim Schoshim, Al Tonu. You have to say that. In Sif Gimel, we learned that, that if you didn't mention bris for Torah, you're not yotze. We learned that noshim and women and avodim slaves don't have to say bris for Torah, but the minhag is to say. We learned that Bnei Yerushalayim, you have to mention Malchus Beis David, and we learned also that if you have to say Alanitzim on Chanukah and Purim. If you forgot, you're not, it's not Ma'akev B'diavet, but you should say Rachamon Yasin Alanitzim Kmo Shel Sabim Mohem, and add then Alanitzim. We then mentioned that Boin Mishnaim is an exception that you will say Omen after your own bracha, because that's the end of the brachas deraisa, and we'll be discussing this in greater detail tomorrow.